The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
And you're welcome back to The Last Word. It's Ian Guider in for Matt. Today, let's find out what's been happening stateside. Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated columnist, and Marion McKeown, US correspondent for my own newspaper, The Business Post, are with us. Cal, I'll get you in a moment because I just want to get Marion to explain what's been going on about all of the videos we've seen in the last couple of weeks, starting off with the appearance of Joe Biden at some of the D-Day events in France and then again at some of the fundraisers, and people looking at it and saying, this guy is having more senior moments, he's freezing up. But Marion, the White House are hitting back at this, saying, we're not just subject to misinformation here, it's simply disinformation, that these are what they're calling cheap fakes.
Yeah, but you know, this is a hard argument to make. And exactly as you said, Ian, there have been several videos just in the last two or three weeks. The one that I thought was the most concerning was one of Joe Biden at the White House. There was a Juneteenth celebration. He was standing beside the brother of George Floyd, who, of course, was the black man who was murdered so brutally by a white police officer who is serving time in prison for that. And which, of course, triggered the protests of the summer of 2020. In that video, people are dancing. Now, Biden does not dance. You know, I've seen Biden in a number of public events long before he became president. He doesn't move around a lot, but he did look, his face looked very confused in that video, and he didn't move, and he did appear to have frozen for a moment. That video to me is the one that is the most concerning. The other two, one was taken at the celebrations, as you said, the D-Day celebrations, I beg your pardon, where he wanders, he goes to, if you look at the full video of that, it does seem that it was selectively edited, where he's interacting with parachutists who landed a couple of feet away. He turns away to talk to them, but it looks like he's wandering off if you don't see the full video. And then there was the one in Los Angeles where it seems that Barack Obama seemed to guide him off stage, which, you know, you can look at that either way. Either he was waiting for the applause to end and he was kind of soaking up the applause, or he was just uncertain of what was happening on stage. But the problem is, when it's set against the background, the backdrop of an 81-year-old president who has been, who appears to have been losing a step physically and cognitively over the last year or two, then, you know, you kind of think, well, there is no smoke without fire. And even if these videos have been selectively edited, Biden is only going one way between now and November. He's only going to get older. There's no magic switch that's going to reverse the aging process for him, or indeed for Donald Trump. But I do think that it's a problem for the White House. I don't think they've dealt with it all that well. But I think that there's also a lack of equivalency, if you will, where Trump has done a lot of things that have just skated under the radar. Donald Trump is 78. There's only 3 years in the difference. He is definitely physically more robust and more energetic than Joe Biden. But he's missed a step on several occasions publicly as well, and got off and wandered and made no sense about a number of things. So I think that Biden is getting disproportionately more attention. But I think there is cause for concern, as I say, and I think that people are rightly pointing it out.
Yeah, Cal, that's why I wanted to get Marion to explain them, because this is the thing, isn't it, Cal? People are looking at this. Even if these ones are fake, the White House Press Secretary Jean-Karine Pierre is saying these are fake, they're cheap fakes. But it sets in, it's the perception that this is an old man not, at times, in full control of himself.
Well, you know, I don't know how you fake something that is a video. I mean, nobody's claiming that it was digitally edited. You can see for yourself. You're going to believe the White House spokespeople or your lying eyes. I mean, it's there. These things have a cumulative effect, as Marion indicated. They're not just one-offs. It's not just two or three events in a row. I went back and looked at a Biden speech in the mid-80s where he was passionately talking about the evils of apartheid in South Africa. He was focused. He was articulate. He knew what he was talking about. And if you look at that Joe Biden and you look at today's Joe Biden, it's clearly a stark difference. Yes, Trump has his own problems, and he, you know, misstated the name of his White House doctor, and he repeats himself a lot. And we've said on this show that we both agree, I think, that these are terrible choices, which is why I'm in favor of getting rid of our primary system. But it is what it is. And I think this sort of image has set in the psyche of American voters, and it's not going to change. As Marion says, there's no fountain of youth out there. He's not going to get any better. And the administration is trying to change the subject by this $50 million ad campaign that they're starting to run, emphasizing Trump's conviction in that New York trial on 34 felony counts.
I'll get to the ad in just a moment, Cal, but just on that, like, the two of them are making mistakes. Increasingly, you see Donald Trump giving the wrong name, as you said, of a doctor in more recent days. But yet Biden is the one being more punished for it. Is it the fact that Donald Trump appears to have more energy? There's only 3 years between them. So does something have to change within the Biden team to say, look, you're going to have to go out there, Joe Biden, and be more like Trump?
I don't think he can do it, frankly. I mean, it's like asking me to play four quarters of basketball. I used to do it when I was in high school and college, but I don't have the physical capacity anymore. It would be stupid to try. I would embarrass myself. So you can't ask somebody to do something that they're not capable of doing. Look, I think he's getting more attention because he is the president. He has the power. He has the nuclear codes. He has the policy power. Trump wants to get it back. But the focus is and ought to be on who is currently president, especially since he wants to run a second term. Now, James Carville just said today in an interview on MSNBC that he thinks there's a 50-50 chance that Trump won't show up for the debate next week. And there are also many, many Democrats now, increasing numbers, very large numbers, who are saying we're going to watch the debate, and if he does not do well, we're going to hope for and ask him to step aside and put somebody else in. I don't know if you can do that right now because there are a lot of ballot deadlines in many states. Names are already on the ballot. I don't know how you take them off and replace them with somebody else. That would be extremely difficult, if not impossible.
We'll stick with the debates for a moment. I will get back on to those campaign ads in just a moment. But Marion, Cal said it there, the debate is coming up. This has to be a win and a clear win for Joe Biden against Donald Trump, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think, Cal, we're exactly on the same page on this one. I don't think that Donald Trump could not show up, although Donald Trump, as we've seen in the past, has been alone to himself and has shown up or not shown up as he chose, most recently with the primaries. But this is, I think, if Biden doesn't trounce Trump in this debate, he's in big trouble. He's, because everything is pointing to Biden being frail, to being not up to a second term. And at the moment, I don't think anybody really believes that Biden could be a competent president for another 4 years, starting in January 2025. And I think that he will have to almost do like a State of the Union again, where he really sort of set the doubters and back on their heels with a pretty powerful and cogent speech. But it's much easier to read a State of the Union speech off a teleprompter than it is to deal with an opponent at a debate, particularly when you have an opponent like Donald Trump, who will just not play fair, who won't play by the rules, who'll do everything he can to be belligerent, to interrupt, to heckle, you know, to throw Biden off his game. I think it's an enormously high bar for Joe Biden. He has got a habit of defying expectations. I don't really know, though, if he has it in him to do what he needs to do in this debate, but we'll see very soon whether or not it happens. If it doesn't, I think that probably Democrats are going to wish that there was something else they can do. But I think the whole point about the ballots and all that is this is a huge ship. It's like turning around, you know, an enormous ship. At a certain point, you just can't do it on time. So we'll see what happens.
Cal mentioned the campaign ad from the Biden-Harris administration focusing in on the criminal record of Donald Trump. Let's have a listen to what they're saying before we analyse it.
In the courtroom, we see Donald Trump for who he is. He's been convicted of 34 felonies, found liable for sexual assault, and he committed financial fraud. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's been working, lowering health care costs and making big corporations pay their fair share. This election is between a convicted criminal who's only out for himself and a president who's fighting for your family.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Cal, are there enough people that care about Donald Trump's criminal history now to swing the vote? Or if you're a Trump voter, you've already priced this in, whereas some of the Republicans might think, you know what, we're just going to go with him anyway.
Well, they're after the independents, of course. They're the key in all of these races. People are pretty fixed in their voting preferences. Republicans, Democrats are going to vote for whoever is the Republican or Democrat nominee. So you're talking about a very handful of states, and within those states, a very small number of voters. It's still 5 months away from the election, and the polls are all over the place. One poll shows in Iowa, Trump is 18 points ahead. Other polls show that with independents, Biden is gaining ground. So, you know, we've seen these polls for years. You might as well go to a palm reader and or a fortune cookie for all the good the polls do, because they're so often wrong. But we love to look at them because everybody wants to predict the future, even when they're wrong. So I think this is a continuing problem for the for Biden, because if he's going to go the felony and conviction route, he's got his son Hunter, of course, who has been convicted of one the thing in Delaware, and now he's going to get this trial for tax fraud, which is more serious, a federal crime in Los Angeles, coming up in September, just 2 months before the election. So that's kind of a iffy prospect to go after your opponent when you've got a problem on your own side.
Marion, we were speaking before the break about the polls moving not really in the direction of Joe Biden. In fact, some people and some demographics are moving against him. Today we are expecting the announcement that the administration are expected to allow up to 500,000 undocumented people who are married to US citizens to remain in the country. Is this a way of trying to get some of the core Democratic base back, or perhaps some of the base who have squeamish about voting for Joe Biden back?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a very smart move, not necessarily for that reason, but because Joe Biden last week, the week before, came out with the decision that there would be, you know, a sort of almost a toll gate put on the number of asylum seekers at the border. And if it went over a certain number, there was a cutoff. I think that's a dreadful decision, because what happens, you just get a bottleneck build up at the border. It's not dealing with the problem. I think this is changing the record a little bit, or looking at the other side, where you have around 11 million undocumented immigrants in America. Now, of these, there's a view in America which is incorrect, that most of them have just arrived last week or last year, or certainly since Joe Biden became president. That's just not the case. About 20% have arrived in the last 5 years, and the rest have been here for 10, 20 years. About one third of them own their own homes. They pay taxes, they're employed. And as we see, a lot of them are married to American citizens, at least 500,000 in this case. And I think it's, you know, America needs to stop being so polarized about the issue of migration and to recognize that, frankly, America couldn't function without a lot of these people who do a lot of the work in the agricultural sector, in meatpacking, and in doing things like fixing people's roofs, you know, their gardens, etc. The value of these workers to America is very, very real. And I think that Donald Trump has been allowed to portray them all as terrorists, as crooks, as gang members, and, as he would say, falsely, as people out of prisons and asylum. So I think you need to recognize these people who are contributing to American society and who really should be regularized, and also to change to allow the work permits, which is the other part of this, for Dreamers, to allow them to apply for work visas. And again, to look at the positive face of immigration and to seek to regularize certain parts of it. It's a good vote for the Latin American community and for people who have come from Central America and Hispanic America, because a lot of these people do not support an open border either. They think, well, we have to come in. They are now regularized. Nobody wants an open border in America. But I think that Biden needs to change the focus to this. But I think that may help with one sector, but I think there are other problems. And I think the problem with young black men is a very, very real one for Joe Biden. And I've seen this. There are more and more of them at the rallies, more and more of them are moving away from the Democratic Party. And I think Biden is really mishandling this. He's going out and speaking to young black men in a really patronizing way, instead of getting some of the brilliant young black men who are Democrats in Congress to go and talk to groups of black voters, people like Malcolm Kenyatta, people like Joseph Ngozi, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. These are really inspiring, talented young black men. I think Biden's going about it all the wrong way. And I think he's losing probably young black male voters at quite an alarming rate. Now, there's a difference between likely voters and registered voters. A lot of these people may not vote anyway. They may turn up at Trump rallies and not bother voting. But, you know, it's a problem he hasn't addressed, and he needs to start looking at it.
Cal, back on the immigration issue, this is surely just red meat for the people that are going to vote Trump and are going to vote Republican.
Well, don't call me Shirley. great line from the movie Airport.
I know.
Look,
hey, old Jones to the best, Cal.
Very good. We effectively do have an open border. Biden said he couldn't do anything about the border without congressional action. And now he's issuing one executive order after another. There's a new survey out that shows now more than half of Hispanics, and Marion touched on this a bit, are opposed to the undocumented illegal immigrants coming into this country. I just checked. The population of Ireland is slightly over 5 million. Since Joe Biden became president, we have had over 7 million illegal immigrants breaking our laws to get here. And I would like to know...
Well, the point is you need them, Cal. As Marion said, you need them to work in all of the jobs Americans won't, an aging American population won't do.
The hundreds of Chinese people pouring over the border are not going to be picking apples and grapes. The people coming from the various Afghanistans and other stands and Russia and other countries are not going to be cleaning plates in restaurant kitchens. These are people who are being smuggled in for various reasons, a lot of them. Now, you've just had this one illegal immigrant from El Salvador who killed a mother of five children in our state of Maryland who was walking along a path she has walked for years for exercise.
That's one incident, Cal.
And she was murdered by this guy.
That's one incident.
It's not just one, Ian. There are increasing numbers of them. You can Google it and look them up. And you say, well, it's just one. Well, what is the value of that woman's life? Now that she has five children without a mother, does that matter at all? If we can vet, and when we're not vetting, because many of these people don't have papers and they don't have any history from their country, other than some of them criminal history, some of them are convicted murderers in their own country, and they're coming here anyway. Some of them, this guy who killed the woman in Maryland, had been deported twice before, but he came back anyway. So you can say, well, it's just one person or it's just two persons, but the right of the people to be secure in their body and property is a fundamental right in America, and the Biden administration's policy on open borders is denying that right.
I want to move on to another story, and I picked this one, Marion, because I actually read it myself over a couple of days ago, and this is about how some groups are organising a resistance to a potential Trump presidency, that you have law firms organising, that you have civil society groups getting together. Isn't this the type of thing that Donald Trump warns about, and it attracts his voters, that there's people out there to thwart my will, to prevent laws being enacted in your name? And this is more damaging than anything some people are doing.
No, I don't agree at all. I think that there are, look, you've got to believe Donald Trump when he tells you what he's going to do, when he says he's going to be a dictator for the day, when he says he's going to set up massive concentration camps on the border, when he says he's going to deport 11 million people. You know, you've got to believe him when he says he's going to go after his enemies, when he says he's going to sick the Department of Justice on his enemies. And then you look at his Project 2025, this document that has been pulled together by the Heritage Society and some really far-right Trump associate lunatics like Stephen Miller, who are really, really, you know, what they want to do to America, and Ross Vaught, all these other people, what they're planning, which is basically to co-opt all of the government agencies, to fire civil servants, to gut the Department of State. There needs to be something in place for this. And these people are just, it's not like they're planning a revolution. All they want to do is to safeguard democracy in America and to use the legal process to do it. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. If I were American, I'd absolutely be doing the same thing.
Cal, we have had, again, coming from the New York Times, which I'm sure you read, a long interview with the US Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, saying that social media is so bad for people's health, there should be a warning on it, the same way you have it for cigarettes. This is the nanny state, the state that will tell you to do every single thing.
Yeah, well, this was tried in the 1980s, of course. Al Gore, the vice president, his wife, Tipper, along with Susan Baker, who was the wife of the Secretary of State, James Baker, got together and decided they were going to put warning labels on these video games, violent video games. People have access to these things. They can get them. I suppose it's okay for parents, if they're engaged enough in their children, as you say, like cigarette warnings and the rest. But if people want to smoke, they're going to smoke. I mean, I've seen the labels in Ireland and the UK. Some of them say smoking kills. And the person with a cigarette pack is smoking away anyway. So people are going to do what they want to do. I don't think you're going to have too much information on this stuff, but I don't know how you police social media. The kid's got a computer in his or her bedroom, and the door is shut.
They have a phone in their pocket all the time. That's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly right. I think it's going to be impossible to do. I wish him well, but I don't think it's going to work.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us. More from you two next week as we edge closer to that first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.